This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. And if I've got my count correctly, if I have my count correct on the number of episodes, this is actually episode 780, which is 15 years worth of podcasts. So there you go. We aren't doing the normal kind of yearly thing right now. We'll do that in a couple of weeks here. My son-in-law's really busy right now. He's working on his doctorate. He's got a lot of stuff he's plowing through. So we're just going to hold for a couple of weeks to do our end of year, start of year, anniversary thingy that we normally do. And we'll take care of that when things kind of settle down just a little bit. So anyways, it's been a good week this week. It's been a great year. We were able to get closed today on our end of, or this week on our end of month stuff for the missions departments for both AGUSM and AGWM, and that all seemed to go fairly smoothly, and yay, all that as well. So that's good. We're working on our registration system, working on our financial processing system, you know, things are just humming along. So that's nice. We're finally out of the fog of end of year, start of year stuff, and getting back to actually doing development, which is fun. So that's good. All is well. Writing is going fine. I spent the week doing a read through on what I had written, and I did a Grammarly check. So I'm about ready to start formatting, but I have one more quick check I need to do on the use of the word had. I use the word had this, had that, a lot, because a lot of the stuff, when you're jumping around with as many characters as I have in these books, you have to get caught up from where you last left the character. And so I use had to signal that it's, you know, that's a past tense, something that happened in the past. And the rule that I've been working with the last couple of years is I will use had in the first sentence of the paragraph and then just leave them off in the rest so it doesn't get onerous. And, sorry, driving by Braille. But I haven't done that check yet. And then also, I really haven't landed the epilogue yet. I think the epilogue is going to work and it'll be fine, but not quite there. I'm getting closer. I've taken a couple of runs at it, but it's a very interesting epilogue. And all the kind of standard techniques that I would use are a little more difficult to make it work in this epilogue. As long as I can get across what I'm interested in getting across in the epilogue, I'm not completely obsessed with making sure that I hit a big emotional moment on the end of this one. So, you know, if we don't get it, it's fine. But it still feels like it should, there should be something there. I should be able to make it work. So I'm going to take another run at it this weekend. If, you know, if I'm close or if it's just not going to happen this time, I'm fine. I've done 19 emotional endings. I think we'll be fine if we have one that isn't. So that's good. I may have some inklings and hints of how we start off book 21, which is good. It's always good to know when you're starting, and the rest of it will just go from there. I have plenty to work with in these last four books, 21, 22, 23, and 24. So I've got plenty of things to get resolved and finished up with and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I'm not concerned about hitting 24 books. Just time to write my way out and, you know, hopefully bring everything to a satisfactory closing. So we'll see how that goes. Costumes are going along fine. I'm still working on the Bugs Bunny paper mask. I had built it to the size that it came in, and then I went ahead and enlarged it by 3 inches or so, just because my head was a little tight in it, and it needed to be 18 inches across as opposed to 15 inches across, so I just ran those calculations, figured out what the percentages were, reprinted all the paper on cardstock, and now I'm working my way through assembling it. I should have that done by this weekend. Then I have to start on the tuxedo coat. We're gonna see how that goes. So this should be interesting. I know what I want to do. It's just figuring out the best way to do it. So we're gonna give this a try, see where this goes. Once I get the tuxedo coat made out of cardstock or paper, probably cardstock, just to make it a little... I bought a pack of black cardstock, so just to make it a little stronger. We'll just see. We'll go from there. So, that's all well. I did discover in looking at my list of holidays coming up that I had put in World Parrot Day, for the end of May, May 31st, because we are falling odd on the days this year. Normally you think of Memorial Day as being... Since it's the last Monday, you just think, well, and then we're into June very quickly after Memorial Day. But in fact, this year, it's not as late as it could be. But I think the 31st of May is a Friday this year. So as such, it's all the way into the next weekend. So I'll be doing the Memorial Day costume the week before the end of the month. And then... you know, I'll pick up with something else, and I thought, well, we could do World Parrot Day. You know, that'll be fine. That's easy. So I've thrown together a costume for that. I just have to create a tail for it, and we'll get that put together. And so it's just, like, really bright colors and feathers, and, you know, I found some good deals on some things, and I found some house shoes that were from Monty Python's That Dead Parrot skit they did. So I'm gonna have those. So it'll just be fun. It's fun. It's very rainbowish colors. So it'll be, you know, we'll just make it work. Speaking of books, I do have costumes for the kids at this point. We're trying to figure out when we can actually shoot the cover pictures for them. They are on spring break this next week, so they wanted to wait until after spring break to do the cover pictures, so that'll be fine. I've got plenty to do, and we'll see what we've got there. Then after I get Bugs Bunny done, then the next big step is probably Marvin the Martian. I think that holiday is somewhere in July or something, and it's not officially a holiday, I'm just making it one, because I have a friend who loves Marvin the Martian, and I've been threatening for years to do a Marvin the Martian costume, and I think I've mentioned in the past, the one big thing I would like to do with this, if I do a Marvin the Martian costume, is I would really love to figure out how to get the eyes animated. I mean, that would be fun. Whether or not I'm going to be able to pull that off, I don't know. So we'll just see where that goes. We do have small groups tonight, and we're having a meal together. And so I need to get in and get my wife some chicken that I bought to get her enough chicken. And then I've got lots of little things to do at the house. Got to get the table set up. Got to vacuum. Got to do all that kind of stuff. I came across a YouTube video this week that I highly recommend that you watch. It is Jordan Peterson speaking with Abigail Schreier, I think. Abigail Schreier wrote a book called Irretrievable Damage, I think, and it was about the transgender craze and young girls getting swept up in this. She has since, and honestly, when I saw that, my initial response was, oh yeah, I've heard them talk before. So, because at first I thought it was the consideration that I had already seen from them, and so I was just like, yeah, there's, you know, no point in watching that because I've already seen it. And then I thought, wait, no, that's new. Just getting the mail. So on the basis of that, I almost clicked past it, but I have learned a kind of an important thing, and you may find this is true as well, that if I have a knee-jerk reaction like that, that it's of the tone, oh, you don't need to do that. That's flesh. And you should probably at least investigate what you're being told, oh, you don't need to do that, a little more carefully. Because if the flesh is so interested in you not doing something, then that's probably something you should do. So I went ahead and watched the episode on the Jordan Peterson channel on YouTube, and wow, it is really, really good. The name of the YouTube episode is Bad Therapy, Weak Parenting, and Broken Children. And it's Abigail Schreier, S-H-R-I-E-R. It's a really good episode where they talk about the process and the approach that public schools have taken with regards to children, and how parents in this day and age have been advised to raise their children, and how counselors are counseling our children. And basically, this is a trifecta that is the worst possible combination that you could have for children. And I won't go into depth because I am home. But what it comes down to is that there's a really interesting thing that Jordan Peterson got into as to how we're treating children and what we're doing. And Abigail Schreier also was talking about this as well, that we seem to be doing our best to raise narcissistic, neurotic children. And how we are doing that can be a bit surprising for those of us who were raised a different way. And we are assuming that how we were raised was not as critical as it is to mental health and well-being. And by that, I mean, what Jordan Peterson was pointing out is that we can group emotions into various categories, and one of those categories is negative emotions. So that's like depression and anxiety, shame, guilt, etc., etc., etc. One of the interesting things he said that clinical psychologists have known and that people who study psychology have known is that self-referential statements, I feel like this, I feel like that, are loaded with neuroticism and they're loaded with narcissism. And so, and in fact, in some of the personality tests, all the self-conscious, sometimes I feel like this, sometimes I feel like that. You know, I often think about my life like this. And I was, you know, that those are actually used to assess the level of neuroticism that people have. That there's no difference between being self-conscious all the time and being depressed and filled with anxiety. And so if you are running therapy or doing parenting or teaching in schools that the children should always be expressing how they feel about things, doing emotional check-ins, you know, that as in therapy, you're only talking about yourself all the time. That's the best way, according to Jordan Peterson, and I can see this, to induce anxiety. So, you know, if you just let the schools and the therapist make the rules for your household, or you let worse, you let your children make the rules for your household, there's only one way this is going to go for the child. It's going to go into neuroticism. It's going to go right into narcissism. Children don't need that. They don't need to be constantly thinking about how they're feeling, because that will lead you to an outcome you don't want. And one of the things Jordan Peterson mentioned that I thought was very, very good is he was saying mental health is not mental. Mental health is about connections. You're not just you, it's who you are in light of your relationship, in light of your friend circle, in light of your peers and you know, your church and your parents. And there's all of these relationships. And children have to operate in all those relationships and be given a chance to fail in those relationships and to grow in those relationships and deal with loss. But Jordan Peterson said, the more you think about yourself, the less you're focusing on how to establish solid, reliable social relationships. And so, you know, constantly, if you're told to concentrate on yourself, all that's going to do is leave you isolated, lonely, and insane. You know, he said, we should be teaching kids that they have to take their place in the world, not that they're only just subject to oppression in the world. And when you give children, he called it atomized lives, where they're only thinking about what's happening to them, and worse, they have a story that tells them that everyone's against them, what you've done is guided children in the completely wrong direction. And they talked about all the standard stuff too, like don't make happiness your goal, do things for others, you know. But if you're doing things for others, you don't make happiness your goal, you're trying to go out into the world, you're trying to make friends, you're trying to find your place in the world, all of that stuff is contributing to a healthy mental outlook, and there's no job for the therapist to do. And Abigail Schreier was saying, well, yeah, of course therapists want to focus on this because there's no job, don't want us to focus on this because there's no job for the therapist to do then if everyone's balanced and healthy. It's a really, really fascinating discussion. One of the fun things that she talked about is she related an anecdote, and I think it was when one of her sons was 4 years old, and he was going to be playing in a piano recital, and he was really nervous about it, and she was trying to figure out, you know, he didn't want to get up in front of the crowd, and he didn't want to, you know, do the thing, and she said that she was trying to figure out, you know, was she going to go ahead and let, you know, have him do that and push him into that, and she said, my husband just said, just let him do it. Let him do it. He needs to do it. And she said, we're, you know, waiting for his turn to come, and he's fidgeting, and he's nervous, and, you know, my husband is just like, just let him do it. And she said, and then all that nervousing and fidgeting, when it came his time, he stood up, he walked up, he stood on the stage, he announced to everyone who he was and what he would be playing. I think that's what it was. And he sat down and did it. And she said, I was never more proud of my son than at that moment. And the key there is that you have to let children have the potential of failing. And sometimes children have to fail. They have to find out that failure is survivable. that you can fall flat on your face and get back up. And it's not something that you have to be constantly fidgeting and worried about. If you fail, get up. And Abigail Schreier was relating her conversation with a professor who's in charge of some sort of mental research facility. And the professor is just aghast because the latest crop of kids she has that she's working with, these are college students, very capable college students. They have this decision paralysis where they can't make decisions and they can't do things until some adult tells them what to do because they're so afraid that they're going to do things wrong. Because they've never had to face what happens when you make a bad decision, what happens when you fail, because everybody wanted to give them rewards for participation. And everyone wanted to, you know, protect them. Don't let them feel bad about themselves because we need to build their self-esteem. And I just found it really fascinating, Jordan Peterson's take on that, that if you spend too much time constantly thinking about how you're feeling, that it will actually drive you into neuroticism and narcissism. And I think that's absolutely true. I think it's absolutely true. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.